All right, I'd like to pray before we start. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time that we can be together to learn from your word, Father, that your spirit would just teach all of us, that we might learn to know you more, learn to communicate with you, to learn to hear you, especially from the scriptures here, Father. I just pray that there will be things that will take root in people's hearts that will help them and enable them to communicate with you in a clearer way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, welcome to, what is this, year four of Bible school? I think it is. I'd like you to turn to Exodus 19 and verse 9. Now, I'm kind of prefacing this for my notes, because we're going to go through these first part of the notes, and some of you are going to go, well, I know that. Yeah, we do know that. But the reason there's so much stuff of things that we know is because of this. Exodus 19:9, NIV. The Lord said to Moses, I'm going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you. Then Moses told the Lord what the people had said. Now look in verse 19 of that same chapter. Actually, verse 16. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Then Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. You talk about awesome. That's hearing the voice of God. And all those people heard it. They heard God speak. Look in chapter 20, verse 19. And they said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen, but don't have God speak to us or we will die. I mean, that's how awesome it was. They're like, hey, you talk to us and you go talk to God. That, do you think that made an impression on them? An impact? We'll go to chapter 32 of Exodus, verse 1.
When the people saw that Moses was so long coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods. Who will go before us? As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we do not know what has happened to him.
So here these people heard the voice of God in such a way that they were like, we can't take this. Roughly 40 days later, hey, make us gods. How soon they forgot. But the New Testament speaks about us being able to forget very easily. In James, the first chapter, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror. After looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Now, that's applying the word and doing the word. But there's still a sense of forgetfulness that even Christians can have. Because we look at those children of Israel and go, man, boy, were they dumb. They were us. Apart from the Spirit of God moving in our lives, that's us. So we're really no different. And we've got an adversary, just for your notes, John 10:10, it says, the thief has come to steal, to kill, and destroy. And so we have an enemy that he wants to wipe out a lot of areas in our lives. And I'm speaking mainly tonight because I'm speaking about learning to hear the voice and leading of God. that he wants to mess with our hearts and minds regarding us hearing from God. You say, well, I don't think that can happen. Look at the Israelites. They heard the audible voice of God. Anybody here heard audible God speaking? Okay. I did one time. But they had it in much more dramatic fashion. The mountain lighting up and thunder and the trumpet sound, and then God speaks. Well, our adversary wants to come in and hit us when we're down. When you're facing a bunch of difficulties and it doesn't seem like God is answering right away. That ever happened to anybody? It's a normal occurrence for all of us. We seem to go through times that seems like God's not listening. When do you think the adversary is going to come in and go, yeah, God's not going to talk to you? Just look at all the times before when he never spoke to you in your time of need. And you can say it doesn't influence you, but I know from my life, it's influenced me, and it's a battle. And so the reason I've got a bunch of scriptures about God speaking to people is because if you get it rooted and deep in your heart, mind, and soul, in your time of need, you will be able to stand instead of giving way. Because all you got to do is reflect, say, God, remind me of those things in your word. Remind me how you spoke. So if you get bored going through these, just think of the children of Israel hearing the voice of God and 40 days later saying, hey, we don't know what happened to Moses. Why don't you make us some gods that we can worship? We can have that same tendency. And Satan tries to exploit it in our toughest times because that's when we're weak. So I want to flood your heart, mind, and soul with so much reinforcement that there's no room to hear the lies. So we'll start on the notes. Isaiah 52, verse 6. Therefore, my people shall know what my name is and what it means. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he who speaks. Behold, I am. Now, there's a lot of ideas about God speaking to us. Some don't believe that he still speaks to individuals, or they think it's only through the scriptures that he speaks to us. Now, obviously, the scriptures are the revelation of God to us. They're checks and balances that determine boundaries. It's the truth that keeps us from establishing wrong ideas. But the scriptures themselves teach us about God's heart and how he desires to communicate with us in several ways. At the end of these lessons, I'm hoping that some of these truths will touch your heart and help you to see that maybe you've been hearing from God at times when you did not consider hearing from God. There's been some insight even as I've gone through this. I taught this once in a home study, but I went over the notes. I made a few revisions and stuff, but there was some truth that as I meditated on how God speaks to me, I see just a little bit clearer, and I'll be expressing that when we get there. Now, as I'm going along, just to let you know, if you have a question about a point that I'm hitting, just raise your hand. I'll answer it there. If it's something that's going to be covered later, I'll let you know that. I'm not putting you off. But I don't want to leave somebody going, well, wait, what did you mean by that? Because then your mind's sitting in that cycle the whole time I'm going through the rest of the lesson. So just get my attention. If I'm looking down reading, just say, hey. So this is going to cover the basics of God's history with man, as well as practical truths that will help you determine how the Lord desires to minister to us. Here's my disclaimer. It will not answer everything, but I believe it will be a help to those who are longing to know how to hear and understand him better. So Psalm 19, 1 through 4, God's communicated through his creation to all mankind. Got two scriptures here that show that. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. They speak without a sound or a word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. I like that. God is speaking without speaking through the creation that he made. And Romans 1:18 verifies this. For God's holy wrath and indignation are revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who in their wickedness repress and hinder the truth and make it inoperative. For that which is known about God is evident to them and made plain in their inner consciousness, because God himself has shown it to them. For ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature and attributes, that is, his eternal power and divinity, have been made intelligible and clearly discernible in and through the things that have been made, his handiworks. So men are without excuse, altogether without any defense or justification. All of mankind, though fallen in sin, can see and recognize his eternal power and his divine nature. Now, that doesn't mean that they get saved through that. It just means they are without excuse in seeing and recognizing that there is a living God. Because if you see and recognize that there is a living God, you will do one of two things. You will either run to him or run from him. And his desire is for people to see who he is and come to know him. That's his heart. So we're going to start. Historically, God has spoken through his prophets. Most of us know this and accept it, but we'll look at these and establish the fact without doubt that the Almighty God does indeed communicate with mankind. We'll start with Genesis 12:1. Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. And Abram believed it, and he left. On the notes, if the individual is not called a prophet in that particular verse, I just put where they were called a prophet so you could see that these guys were prophets. If there was nothing anywhere that said they were a prophet, but they're included in the minor prophets, I see them as a prophet. But that way you can double check this. But here's Abram. It doesn't say how God spoke to him. It just says, Lord said, go. You're going to find not everybody that hears God speaking just goes. You think, well, man, if I heard God speak, I'd do it. I think we've all seen shortcomings in our lives where God nudged us and we said, nah, not now. But what he wants us to see is that he has a reason and a purpose, but he shows the flaws, and he even shows in these prophets, as you look through these, you will see guys who were going, nah, and God still used them. All right, in Exodus 3:4, I'm reading the verses just for the tape's sake. I know you have them in front of you, but for people who might listen, not have a Bible on hand, just so they get a reference. When the Lord saw he had gone over to look at the burning bush, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, what is that, a talking bush? I think I'll take that and bring it home with me. No, there was something about the voice coming out of there going, Moses, Moses, that obviously, he's like, I'm right here. A lot of you guys know my testimony that I was a glue sniffer for many years. And I talked to bushes, and I was in a whole nother world. And in fact, and I've shared this before, that when God gave me a first vision, he had to give it to me in stick people. Because I was so used to hallucinating a whole world of it was reality. And I was afraid. I said, God, if you speak to me in a vision, because it said you're going to give dreams and visions to your young men. I was young then. and I thought, I won't know if I'm having a flashback. So one day, I'm praying, got my eyes closed, and I see these little stick figures. Like, what is that? And it was God. He ministered through my fears. But somebody talking from a bush, I'd have been, yeah, I've seen that a few times. In Judges 4:4, Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at the time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites came to her to have their disputes decided. She sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you. Go take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead the way to Mount Tabor." Scripture calls her a prophetess. God spoke through her. 1 Samuel 3:10. The Lord came and stood there, calling at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant's listening." Now, I'm not quite sure how to take that myself, because it says the Lord came and stood there. Samuel. Samuel. Now he gets up. He obviously didn't see the Lord because he goes running to Eli. But he began to hear the voice of God. In 1 Chronicles 14:13, once more the Philistines raided the valley. So David inquired of God again, and God answered him, "Do not go straight up, but circle around them and attack them in front of the balsam trees." God gave him direction for battle. What I want you to see is the myriad of things that are taking place. There's calls to battle. There's directions in battle. There's God personally starting to draw somebody. God is a communicator. Satan is a liar that tries to tell us, that's not God really speaking to you guys. And again, for those who have been in Bible school before, I've shared this. I have an uncle. When we were sharing our testimony, Cindy and I went over to visit my aunt and uncle, and we were sharing our testimony. And, well, how did you come to move to Alliance? Well, the Lord told us. Oh, I saw the heat rising up and just the anger. How can you say that God speaks to you? I said, I don't know, he just does. But it angered him that a mere young couple would dare to say God's speaking to them. What audacity! No, I just have a loving father that wants to talk to me. And so do you. And we need to see that and be reminded of it so that when you're in those dark hours, when it doesn't seem like he's answering, that you're still talking to him and trusting him and asking him to continue to lead you in the way. And for those who are in that place, Isaiah 50, verse, I think it's 10 and 11, Gary preached on it here. It's been a scripture that God ministered to me years ago, that when you're serving the Lord and you walk in darkness, keep your trust in the Lord. Stay upon him. Because sometimes we walk in darkness. stuff just happens and it just seems like lights out. But God's still there and he's still desiring to minister. It might not be the way we desire. We want to hear him and see him alleviate, and he might be saying, I'm wanting you to change your ways. There's something here in your life that's helping bring this circumstance. I'm wanting to bring it to light so that it changes. And that's why we need to see the myriad of ways that God leads and guides. Because I still think I see a tendency in people when you say, who here hears the Lord on a regular basis? People are almost reluctant to raise their hand. They either don't recognize it, or they're just bashful. I don't know. But we should be hearing from God. And I think you'll see at the end of this lesson that there are times, many, many times, that God is leading, guiding, speaking, and we take it as an everyday thing. I want to bring that to light so that we recognize it and appreciate it and look forward to it, that there would be an anticipation that we're seeing him moving, because then we can't say, well, God's not moving in my life. We can say, yes, okay, I'm not hearing this, but I'm seeing this. And so that's where I hope to take us. In 1 Chronicles 17:2, then Nathan said to David, do all that's in your heart. God's with you. He's a prophet. Isn't that a good word? David said, man, I want to build a house for God. Nathan says, man, do what's in your heart. Well, that night, the Lord speaks to Nathan and says, hey, go tell David, you're not going to build me a house. God changed Nathan's perspective with a word. Now, the other thing you're going to see is that David was a prophet. So how come Nathan had to come over and tell him? Don't prophets hear everything? No. God doesn't tell one prophet everything. The next verse, 2 Samuel 24:11. For when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Gad, David's seer, or his prophet, saying, go and say to David, thus says the Lord, I offer three things. Choose one of them, that I may do it unto you. That's when David sinned by numbering Israel. Well, how come God didn't speak directly to David? Anybody want to venture a guess?
Outside of the will of God, from what he did, he probably went a little close to him.
Yeah. How many feel guilty when they do something wrong?
That's how you
well, here he is. He knows he shouldn't do this, and he does it anyhow. So he's hardening his heart to a degree. I'm not saying one sin is going to cut you off from God, but it affects our communication with him. Because he might be speaking and we're not hearing because we're bent on going our own way. That's why scriptures talk about having an open heart. So here, David the prophet needed a prophet to speak a word into his life. 1 Kings 14:5. And the Lord said to Ahijah, behold, the wife of Jeroboam comes to ask a thing of you for her son, for he's sick. Thus and thus shalt you say unto her, for it shall be when she comes in, she'll feign herself to be another woman. That'd be kind of nice, sitting at home and Lord just tell you, all right, the Hostetlers are coming up. You go to the door, they're not there yet. Oh, they pull in. He does it for special reasons, not so that we can just have this goofy insight. There's specific reasons. This woman was coming to get a word from him, and she was lying about it. And God just forewarned the prophet and then told him what to tell her. 1 Kings 16:7. And also by the hand of the prophet Jehu, the son of Hanani, came the word of the Lord against Baasha and against his house, even for all the evil that he did in the sight of the Lord, and provoking him to anger with the work of his hands, and being like the house of Jeroboam, and because he killed him. So we have God speaking to Jehu. 1 Kings 19:9. Talking about Elijah. And he came into the cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, "What are you doing here?" How'd you like to hear God say that to you? "What are you doing here?" That lets you know, I'm not supposed to be here. But the story behind this is he was running in fear and kind of just going, man, they've killed all the prophets. I'm the only one left. I might as well just die. And Jezebel's after me. She's going to have me killed. Just let me die. I've done what I'm supposed to do. And birds feed him. He gets word that he's going to need the strength to go on his journey. He comes to the cave. And when he gets there, God doesn't go, "I'm glad you made it off the strength I gave you." And he just says, "What are you doing here? What are you doing?" And then we know that God sent the wind and all the other stuff, but it was a still small voice when Elijah responded and said, okay, and he comes out and faces God. Comes out of the cave. But have any of you ever had fear? Fear can be a very stifling thing in our lives. God can speak to you through your fears. He did it with Elijah. And I see if my God can do it there, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, it shows me that he can do it in my life. That you're in a place where you just, fear is just running rampant. You can look for God to minister to you. To speak, to lead, to guide, to do whatever it takes to nourish your heart. 1 Kings 22. And he said, "I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace." I love this story. Micaiah. 400 prophets have been saying, "Go up! Go up!" And the king says, Judah says, "Is there a prophet of the Lord around here besides these guys?" just Micaiah, but he never speaks a good word to me. And the king's henchmen go to get him, and they say, "Hey, everybody else is speaking good." He said, "I'm only going to speak what the Lord tells me to speak." And he comes out and he says, "I see all Israel scattered. There's no leader here." Now, we read that and it's like, yes. Put yourself in their shoes. You hear God speaking to you. That this whole crowd, 400 prophets, are all saying the opposite of what you're saying. We read it there, but when you're in the shoes where God says, stand against them. I think I have a little bit of fear at times like that. Now, I'm hard-headed, and I'm willing to go against the grain. But at the same time, unless the Spirit of God is speaking to me, and I'm recognizing that, okay, that's what he wants, then it can be done. You can face the 400, you can face the 4,000. It doesn't matter. Many martyrs have done it. They've known it's going to cost their life, but they're going to speak what God says to speak without watering it down. That's why we need to know what he wants us to say and how to say it. I think some people bring it on themselves sometimes in their attitude, how they're expressing it. I'm hoping to show you how I think the Spirit of God actually wants us to walk in this simple rest. How many know the scripture that when you stand before the kings, he'll give you what to say? Don't worry about it. How many of you worry about it? I do. It's like, okay, well, let's see. You run scenarios through your head. You're just trying to prep yourself. I'm actually seeing a point where as we're recognizing how the Spirit of God is ministering, that it's like, it's almost, I'm getting way ahead of myself, but it's almost the way God speaks to me in prophecy. God does not speak to me in prophecy with a booming, thundering voice. In fact, he has changed it. It used to be, man, I'd have this driving thing inside me, the whole pew would be shaking, and I'd... Then he spoke to me about a year ago. He said, I'm not going to minister to you that way. I'm just going to talk to you like normal. What does that mean? Because most of the thoughts that come from God come in my thinking. I'm way ahead of myself. When people think about hearing the Holy Spirit speak to them, they're thinking of hearing something that maybe is going, do this, a voice change or something. It's not that. It's not that. I'm going to throw this out because I'll do it again later, but I want you to know, and I talked to Bill about it. Bill gets very excited, very emotional when the Spirit of God speaks to him. Anybody ever see that? That's him. That's his heart. That's him before God. That's great. You want to see what a Finn looks like? Here's a Finn happy. Here's a Finn mad. Here's a Finn when God speaks to him. I don't get emotional like that. And I think what has happened, and he said, please share it. I think people see what it does in Bill, and they're thinking, man, I haven't had God speak to me where it just riles me up like that and just gets me going and fired up. And so they're making a comparison. And that's not good. I hear God basically in a still, small way speaking in my head. There's just something behind it that I'll be sharing that causes me to recognize that it's him. And I weigh it out every time. I weigh it out if it's scriptural, if it's, is it for me, is it for other people? I'm waiting to have him give me that nudge. But when I say the Lord spoke to me, I'm not hearing voices in my head. I did hear one audible voice from him. That was it. That was right after I got saved. But he's never done that again. And I don't go around pining for it. I just want to know I'm hearing from him. Micaiah knew who had spoken to him. Can you see talking to the king saying, hey, these guys don't have a master? He's talking about the king. Take some brass to do that. But that brass and that strength came in him knowing God told him to say that.
2 Kings 3, 14, Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts lives before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I wouldn't look toward you or see you. That sounds pretty rude to me. Here's three kings. You know what? If it wasn't for that king right next to you, I wouldn't even look at you. Wouldn't you be afraid of getting your head chopped off? He says, all right, send a minstrel, even though he didn't feel like even looking at this one king. Get a minstrel, God gives me a word, I'll give it to you. Isaiah 1:1, the vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children, brought them up, but they've rebelled against me. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, they have good and bad parts of their words. There's things that would draw and entice, and there's words that are judgmental. But God spoke to them. Jeremiah 1:4. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you, and before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Nathan, this is the Lord. I have called you to do this, to be this, right from birth. Wouldn't that make you feel uplifted? It doesn't always work that way. Jeremiah's like, I can't speak, I'm just a child. So hearing God speak to him made him want to back up. Hey, I can't be doing this. That's why I'm saying God can speak to us a lot of times and we have the same reaction. Kirk's better at that. Oh, Bill Powell's real great at that. No, he's talking to you to do it. You say, oh, I'm not good. If God is nudging you in a direction, then it's the best thing you could have. Even though your personal makeup doesn't feel totally comfortable with it. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I got the same struggle. I've got personality issues that have been rooted from the time I was born till I was 19 and saved, and even some bad things added in my life afterwards by not applying the Word of God. Well, those issues are the things that he's working out, but they still cause some friction and resistance when the Spirit of God is ministering to me. That's why he has to minister to me. He has to work them out. Same thing with you. But he's doing it because he loves us. And he's trying to communicate, I feel, on a much more regular basis than we could ever conceive. I believe that with all my heart. Because if he would take and speak to unsaved individuals in a means that they cannot deny through his creation, how much more his own kids? I mean, when I was raising my kids, I wasn't raising somebody else's down the street. I was raising mine. I was talking to them. I was trying to pour into them. We're God's house. He still loves those people that are outside the walls. But how much more us? And we fail to see that at times. In Ezekiel 1:3, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of Chaldeans by river Kibar, and the hand of the Lord was upon him. I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst of it there was as a color of amber out of the midst of the fire. I'm glad I wasn't with Ezekiel, because me seeing the wheel within the wheel with eyes and stuff, I said, man, I am tripping. That would not have been good. I have no idea what some of that stuff is in Ezekiel. I'm honest. I hear all kinds of people make different types of statements, and it's one of those things where in my heart nothing has gone clear. And so it's on the back burner, and it's going to sit there. If it takes 15 years, that's how long it takes before God. I've had stuff back there for a long, long time, believe you me. I see things in Scripture that I don't understand, and they just stew back there. But God's Word keeps adding a little bit insight here, there, and eventually He puts things together, and it's like, yes, I see that. And in my heart, it grabs a hold of it and says, yes, because it's a confirmation, it's a Spirit bearing witness with the truth. And then I can feel confident and say, this is what I believe. So Ezekiel's word, man, I don't know. I would have had a tough one there. Amos 1:1 and Amos 7:14. The words of Amos, one of the shepherds of Tekoa, what he saw concerning Israel 2 years before the earthquake when Uzziah was king of Judah and Jeroboam, son of Jehoash, was king of Israel. Amos answered Amaziah, I was neither a prophet nor a prophet's son, but I was a shepherd. I also took care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel. Now then, hear the word of the Lord. You say, do not prophesy against Israel and stop preaching against the house of Isaac. And then he gives a heavy word to him. Don't regard your position in life, whether you're low, high, or anything else. Amos, the gatherers of sycamore fig trees, that was the poorest type of thing. It usually the poorest type of people did that because it was hard work getting the fruit. I forget, I read about it one time, and they got to scratch the thing to work it. And it was basically the poorest type. So here he is. He's basically a poor shepherd from what I understand. And he's just going along, and God says, I want you to go prophesy to my people Israel. I feel like that sometimes. I'm a high school dropout, and God says, go teach my people. Yeah, okay. I've got my credentials. What are my credentials? A BA, born again. Spirit-filled. That's it. Because God takes the heart that you have. I look at my life. I've been a custodian. I know when I see custodians at the mall and they're walking about this fast, pushing a dust mop, it drives me nuts because I don't work that way. But I've seen people's faces when they say, well, what do you do for a living? I said, I'm a custodian. Well, now I'm maintenance, so I'm up in the world. I'm a custodian. That's what I was. Can't back down from that. That's what I do. I'm good at it. Where God put me. You can't let that hinder you, because I read some of these educated individuals' knowledge and understanding of certain scriptures, and I challenge them because they're wrong. I say, well, who are you and where did you study to say that? I studied in the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit showed me that that's not right. You cannot regard it. That's a battle. I know. Even though I said I'm hard-headed, God has to hit me with 2x4s at times. But there's still that creepy feeling sometimes when I'm around doctors, highly educated, highly paid. There's sort of an intimidation thing that goes there, and it plays with your mind. And you got to kind of put it in a gear where I'm a servant of God. That's what I am. And I will do what He wants me to do. I'm battling it the same as you. I've just been there a little bit longer than most of you. But it's not over. It's not over. You don't go, okay, when you're saved 25 years in the Lord, then you just coast. I got 42, and it's still a battle because of dying to myself. It's not always easy. I got one more minute here, and oh my gosh, I thought I was going to be going faster through this than I am. But that's okay. I want you guys to just have the scriptures just showing God speaks to people. In 2 Chronicles 12:5, then came Shemaiah the prophet to Rehoboam and the princes of Judah that were gathered together to Jerusalem because of Shishak, and said to them, thus saith the Lord, you have forsaken me, therefore I've left you in the hand of Shishak or Shishak. So God spoke to Shemaiah.